Good morning. We welcome you in the name of the Lord on this Mother's Day, a special greeting to all the mothers. And this evening we will be in chapter 8 of the book of 1 Samuel, the manner of the king, Samuel's warning to the people regarding the negatives of the things that they would receive if they demanded a king. And this morning we are dealing with chapter 2 in 1 Samuel. Prayer, praise, and prophecy. And this is Hannah's song of rejoicing and praise as a result of the answer to her prayers for a child. And the book of 1 Samuel deals extensively with the words and the actions of Samuel the judge, the prophet. But as with all scripture, the real focus is the blessing and the mercy, the faithfulness of God in His sovereignty as He deals first with the history of Israel, but also more generally with all of mankind. So this morning, we will look at Hannah's prayer, Hannah's praise, and Hannah's prophecy. As we discuss the sovereignty of God, it is appropriate that this celebration of the answer to Hannah's prayer for a child is considered here today on this day that is celebrated as Mother's Day. Hannah recognized, of course, that the true blessing, the true hope, was not a child. It's not anything of this world, but it's the hope and the trust that comes through the relationship of a personal faith in God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The hymn is 582.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest upon unchanging grace. In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Amen. And Hannah rejoiced in the faithfulness, the blessings, the goodness of the Lord, even as we must recognize that we are responsible to give Him glory, for He is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. The hymn is 502.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your praise obey.
I'm not sure we know this one. I thought we had that one. Oh, that's it.
Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your vessel banner wave on high. The cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Bright youth has no crown.
And as Hannah had yearned for a long time for a child, the Lord finally heard her call, her plea, and He provided. He provided even more abundantly, for as she surrendered Samuel to the service of the Lord, she was later blessed with many other children. And thus, we are to endure our trials and tribulations, knowing that the providence of the Lord is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for us. And He will enable us to persevere through whatever He calls us to endure. The hymn is 580. It is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attends, the
Please stand. We're going to ask Brother Tom to open in prayer today for our worship time together. And then Brother Alan, if you would read 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 11.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day. We pray, Lord, you would be with us as we worship you. We pray that you would make us attentive, Lord. And pray that you'd be with your speaker, giving boldness and clarity. And we just thank you, Lord, so much for what you've done for us in our lives, and especially what you've done for us for our eternal lives. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, to to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he that hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Hannah's prayer is an evidence of the faithfulness of God, the result of much yearning and seeking after the Lord's will. And such has been the experience of many of God's people down through the ages. And that certainly was the case with a man in India by the name of Nathaniel Taj Khan. He was baptized on May the 14th, the year 1826. He had been a Muslim. When he was not satisfied with that, he became a Hindu. But then he heard the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to a saving faith in the Savior. He became a zealous convert. And though he was expelled from his village because of his faith, he preached wherever he had the opportunity. And he was instrumental in the conversion of his wife and many others throughout the region where he lived until his death. Hannah was a faithful servant of the Lord as well. And here, like the songs of praise that were uttered by Miriam after the crossing of the Red Sea, by Deborah after the great victory of the Israelites, and by the Virgin Mary after the birth of the Savior, Hannah's song, Hannah's prayer, reflects a praise to the Almighty for His power and His mercy, and His sovereign will, which had been accomplished in her life and in the life of Samuel, her son. Samuel is a name which means in the Hebrew, God has heard. And he was born roughly around the year 1100 B.C., he was taken to Eli, the priest, at Shiloh after he was weaned. The historian Josephus says that this was when he was about 8 years of age. And after the capture of the ark by the Philistines and the death of Eli's two wicked sons, Samuel emerged at about the age of 12 as the acknowledged prophet, the future judge of Israel. He became judge of Israel in about 1067 BC and continued in that role until his death 47 years later. After first anointing King Saul, and then when Saul deviated from the will of the Lord, he anointed David to be king. And he died an old man. But he remained faithful, though his sons were not as righteous as he. They followed not in his ways or in the ways of the Lord. But Samuel remained faithful his entire life, seeking to do the will of the Lord, faithfully proclaiming the message from God. But here we have Hannah's prayer of praise and prophecy. And like the model prayer that the Lord gave to his disciples when they ask him how they should pray, Hannah begins her prayer with an exclamation of rejoicing for the goodness of God, for the blessings which he had provided in hearing her prayer. And he had given her a son. And she proclaims that her horn is exalted. And this is not a word of boasting. The horn in ancient Israel had long been regarded, the horn of the oxen, the horn of animals, was a symbol for power and blessing and goodness. And she notes that her horn is exalted. The Hebrew practice was that single women and those without children wore a silver horn that was attached to their head coverings, and they would mount their veil upon it. For the single women and those without children, it pointed downward. But for the women who were blessed with children, it was raised further up on the forehead and pointed perpendicular to the forehead. And again, the veil was hung upon it. But it was lifted up. It was raised up to show God's symbolic blessing upon them and giving them children. And she focuses her attention upon the goodness of the Lord. She proclaims, like the opening line of what we call the Lord's Prayer, it's an exaltation of the name of the Heavenly Father. And she says, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. She's recognizing the absolute holiness, the righteousness, the perfection of God Almighty. The accomplishment of his sovereign will cannot be hindered by men or devils. And she says, there is none beside thee. This of course, recognizes that no man-made God can compete with the true God, the Creator and the Savior of his people. And she likewise knows that there is no rock like the God of her salvation. And that reference to the rock, the foundation upon which we build our faith, is a frequent picture of the imagery of the psalmist. But it is also that which the Lord Jesus himself uses as a reference to himself. For he was that rock which accompanied his people in their wilderness journeys through the 40 years in preparation of entering the promised land. It was he who went before them in the protective cloud by day and the fiery pillar by night. He was the basis of their faith. He was the one who held them firm, gave them power, heard their prayers, restored them when they went astray. He was the immovable foundation of their faith as he is ours. And thus Hannah acknowledges the goodness, the blessing of Almighty God. She says further that her mouth is opened above her enemies. And the earlier account of the life of Hannah recalls the rebuke, the mockery that she had received from Elkanah's other wife during the time of her barrenness. Barrenness was often regarded as a judgment of the Lord. And Peninnah, the other wife, took full advantage of that. But when it says here that her mouth was opened above that of her enemies, it doesn't mean that she's boasting. rather, her song of praise was louder than the murmuring and the grumbling and the criticism of those who opposed her. Elkanah, the Levite, had said to her that he was better to her than 7 sons. And yet she desired to have a child. And she went to Eli the priest and prayed fervently to the Lord. And Eli had said that a year from that date, she would be blessed with a son. When Samuel was born, Hannah stayed back from the usual family trek to Shiloh to worship. She waited there until he was weaned. But when he was old enough, she brought him to Eli and she surrendered him to the priest for instruction and for a lifetime of dedicated service to the Lord. But Hannah's willingness to surrender Samuel to the will of God, to the service of God, was rewarded richly because she was blessed with many other children, 3 more sons and 2 daughters. And Samuel also glorified the Lord in his lifetime of service. She continued to see him on her yearly journeys to Shiloh. The scripture says that each year she would make a new coat for him and bring it to him. So she was able to see his growth in the knowledge and the understanding, the admonition of the Lord. But she also had an opportunity to see him as he grew. And she was then blessed with other children. The Lord is faithful. And he will provide far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. The next verse acknowledges the caution against boasting. When we are in times of goodness, when we are in times of prosperity, should never gloat over the condition of those who oppose us. She does not name her enemies here, though the name of the other wife is mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. She does not mention her here. In her humility, she simply acknowledges the blessing of God in giving her victory over the criticisms and the mockery of her enemies. For Hannah understood the biblical principle that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our enemies are not other human beings. We wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And thus, it's a spiritual battle in which we Christians are engaged. And we must never seek revenge upon the human puppets of the devil's devious plans. The scripture reminds us that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And here Hannah recounts the sovereign will of God, the power of God to not only judge the enemies of her and of the Lord, but also to bless those who are faithful. She reminds us that God is the giver of all things. He's the one who raises up some and puts down others. He is the one who judges to the ends of the earth. And he is the one who makes the proud and the boastful to become weak. He raises up the poor from the dust and the beggar from the dunghill. And these are graphic pictures of the degree to which the poor often suffer, living in the dust and the squalor, searching for food among the dunghills. And yet God hears the prayer of the lowly, and he provides for the meek and the weak and the poor and the widow and the orphan. And thus, he is the one who kills and makes alive. This too is a bit of prophecy. It foretold some of the actions, not only of the prophets of the Lord as they foretold the coming of Christ, but indeed even the miracles that Christ himself would perform. And the miraculous resurrection from the dead that would signify his victory over sin and death and hell. The 10th verse of this second chapter identifies for the first time a prophetic announcement of the Anointed One, the Messiah. As early as Genesis 3:15, there had been a sketchy foretelling of the coming of Christ. The one who, though his heel would be bruised, he would bruise the serpent's head. And the unfolding of prophecy in succeeding generations would give additional details regarding the life and the ministry, the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, for the first time in verse 10 of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, he is identified and foretold as the Anointed One, the Messiah. And he would be a judge over the ends of the earth, not merely a judge of Israel, as the judges had been for the previous 400 years. This prophetic announcement that Hannah was given was an announcement of Christ. It was a more clear announcement of even the gospel message itself. For just as God provides for the poor and the widows, the orphans, the downtrodden, so too in the miraculous wisdom of the gospel, he chose to retrieve a faithful remnant, not just from Israel, but from the uttermost parts of the earth, from every tongue and every kindred and every tribe, the remnant of those who would repent and believe, even from among the Gentile nations, those nations which had been lost in darkness for so many centuries, even millennia. And yet the gospel light of Christ gave them hope as it had given Hannah hope. Hannah rejoiced in the God of her salvation. She did not take any credit for herself, nor should we Christians congratulate ourselves when we receive the blessings of God. He is worthy of all honor and glory. And thus, Hannah recognized her responsibility to praise the name of the one who is the giver of all good things. She recognized that he provides for our every need. The parables of the Lord would illustrate that further in another 1,000 years. And the writers of the rest of the epistles elaborate that point. But Hannah, more than 1,000 years before Christ, was blessed not only with a child, but with a spiritual insight and understanding of the power of God to hear and answer prayer and to provide far more abundantly than we can ever ask or think. She rejoiced in that blessing, and she celebrated the goodness of the Lord. Down through the ages, the people of God have recognized the faithfulness of God. He finishes that work which he begins in his people. He provides what we need even before we ask. And yet, though we sometimes wander, though we sometimes wallow in our own self-pity, though we sometimes go our own way and follow our own will, Those who are truly faithful will return and repent and get back into the narrow way, the straight and narrow way that few there be that find it. But the Lord remains with his people. He remains faithful. Even as we can sing that hymn, number 27, Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Provision of Samuel as the answer to Hannah's prayer illustrated the power of God, the power and the mercy and the faithfulness of the Lord. Even as we can sing hymn number 667, to God be the glory, great things he hath done.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that we may go in.
Amen. And may we, like Hannah, not become discouraged in our times of trials, in our sorrows, and in our sufferings, but may we glorify the Lord and His holy name in the times of blessing as well as in the times of trouble. Amen. Do we have any thoughts this morning regarding prayer, praise,